is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. You know, yesterday in your congregation, if there were a lot of babies crying in the nursery, then you probably were in a conservative evangelical or traditional Roman Catholic church. If there were a real lot of babies crying in the nursery, then you were probably in a Mormon congregation. But if there were lots and lots and lots of babies crying in the nursery, you probably weren't in a congregation or a church at all. You were probably in a mosque. That's because you have declining birth rates among traditionally Christian denominations, while we have skyrocketing birth rates among Muslims. And the question I want to ask you today is, should we be concerned about that? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. And we're talking about the baby bust and the church. Should we be worried about this? And what should we do about it? 877-893-TALK. Before we do, a couple of things in the news today. As you know, Hurricane Wilma has left behind devastation in Florida. Right now, the officials in Florida are trying to respond to the devastation of Hurricane Wilma. And what we really need to understand is, although right now we only know of one death that's directly caused by Wilma, we need to remember that we need to be praying for the people who are left behind in Key West and the Florida Keys and Fort Lauderdale and everywhere that's really been affected by Hurricane Wilma. And not only those who have lost homes or who have suffered damage to their homes, but the fact that you have people without power. Let's keep in mind while we're praying today that we have elderly people who are really dependent upon electricity and can really be suffering right now the effects of just down power lines, of a lack of communication from down telephone lines. And let's also be praying for relief workers who are on their way. I know as someone who is from an area hit by Hurricane Katrina, the kind of witness that evangelical Christians who are coming in bringing food and bringing water and bringing chainsaws and working down there, what kind of a witness that is to the community. Let's pray that the gospel would go forward with power in the aftermath of Hurricane Wilma. Also, intelligent design, still in the news. The interim president of Cornell University has said that intelligent design is not science at all, and he just gave a speech saying that it is absolutely ridiculous, that it's religious belief masquerading as a secular idea, and that it ought to be shot down. Well, there's a lot of people wanting to shoot it down, and right now that's going on in Dover, Pennsylvania, and in other court cases, it's probably going to make its way to the Supreme Court. What I found really interesting today was looking through the latest issue, the November 3rd issue of Rolling Stone magazine. Now, I don't ordinarily agree with the comments that are coming from Rolling Stone magazine, but I have to agree with this. Rolling Stone, talking about intelligent design, which of course they completely disagree with, Rolling Stone said this. They said, we need to understand that it's time to see that this has to do with the great liberal lie, this is a direct quote, the great liberal lie of the modern age, the idea that progressive science and religion can coexist. For a century or so since Nietzsche, popular culture in the West has operated according to an uneasy truce in which God both is and is not dead. We teach our children the evidence-based materialism of science and tell them they can believe in God and a faith-based morality in their spare time if they want to. And Rolling Stone says, what these endless scopes trial sequels tell us is that somewhere many years from now, we're going to hit a fork in the road beyond which this have-it-both-ways philosophy isn't going to fly anymore. Is God dead or is he not? Are we believers or are we not? They know what we think. They just want us to come out and say it. Now, that is really a perceptive argument. Their understanding that what's involved in all of these little court cases doesn't simply have to do with the content of textbooks. It has to do with a way of seeing the world. Do you see human beings as accidents, or do you see human beings as designed, and that means accountable to a designer, to a creator, to a God? And I think Rolling Stone is on target on this one. I just think that they have the wrong solution. Another bit of news today. You know, we've got the rise of internet classes all over the United States of America, but we now have online physical education classes taking place in Minneapolis. Now, I can understand how you can do social studies online. I can understand how you can do all kinds of things. But how on earth do you take PE online? Well, the way you do it is you do your own physical activity, and then you keep an online journal of this and put it up on the internet, and they grade you that way. No comment on that one. Also, I'm sure many of you have seen the new, what they're calling the Olsen twins of the white nationalist movement, group known as Prussian Blue, that are coming out of Bakersfield, California. These are these 13-year-old twins, and what they're singing is white nationalist Nazi hate. Now, this is because they have parents who are teaching them this kind of nonsense, and all of the internet newspapers have pictures of these two young girls wearing T-shirts with a smiley face with a Hitler mustache on him. Now, this kind of thing just has to break your heart as you think about the fact that we actually have children being raised to hate other people because of the color of their skin, to hate people who are Jewish. To reclaim Nazism, if there is anything that is self-evidently evil, it is neo-Nazi white nationalism. And yet, even in the United States of America, you can have two young girls out singing the anthems of Nazism. That just tells us you can end an evil, you can defeat an evil, but that doesn't mean you can bury it. It will come back. The answer to Nazi ideology has to be more than just military victory. It has to be the redeeming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and churches that actually show reconciliation and actually show the love of Christ within them. Now, today, what I want to talk about is the baby bust. I mean, there's a new article that has come out. A group of sociologists have studied, Michael Hout of the University of California at Berkeley, Andrew Greeley of the University of Arizona, and Melissa Wild of Indiana University, and they've written an article where they say, you know, we know that the mainline Protestant churches are losing members. The Presbyterians, the Episcopalians, the United Methodists, the American Baptists, they're losing members more and more every single year. They say, you know, we've always assumed that that's because of liberalism. But it's not because of liberalism. It's because they're not having babies. They're not having any babies. They're not having as many babies. And that's the reason why they're tanking. The conservative churches are still continuing to have babies. And that's why they are growing. Now, I think this is, at one level, ridiculous and absurd. I mean, having a church that doesn't value children, that is usually going to be a liberal church. Why is it that the church doesn't value children and doesn't encourage families? Often it is because this is a church that has sold out the gospel. If you have a church that is passionate about evangelism, a church that is passionate about seeing Christians experience the new birth, that same kind of church is going to be passionate about seeing to it that families welcome new lives into the world. They're going to be passionate about equipping parents to parent, fathers to father, mothers to mother, and to welcome children in from the neighborhood, seeing them come to know Christ. I think that these churches are embracing a contraceptive culture precisely because they have abandoned the gospel and precisely because they are liberal. But what I want to say to you is we need to be worried about this ourselves, because in our conservative evangelical churches, we have the same problem on the horizon. Families who are not having children, because frankly, think about it for a minute. You're living in a culture that sees one child or 1.5 children, two children, as being the norm. When you have a family walking into the grocery store with 5, 6, 7 children, they're going to get awkward stares. People are going to come up and make ridiculous comments like, well, I bet I could tell you what's causing that. You have all kinds of negative attitudes toward people with big families. Well, guess who's having big families? the Muslims are having big families, and the more they continue to have these children, the more they're going to continue to spread throughout the earth. What should we do about this? Should we be worried about this? Should we be encouraging larger families among Christians? And if so, how? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation. You know, maybe we're just depopulating ourselves out of existence by not emphasizing the fact that part of what it means to be married is to be parents, and that is a joyful calling and a joyful task. How can we emphasize that, and how can we turn this around? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. The Christian Church and the Empty Nursery. That's what we're talking about today on the Albert Mohler Show. This is Russell Moore, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
All these years I've stayed at home while you had all your fun. And every year that's gone by, another baby's come. There's gonna be some changes made right here on Nursery Hill. You set this chicken your last time, 'cause now I've got the pill.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Loretta Lynn says now that she has the pill, she has all kinds of new freedom. And the mainline Protestant churches seem to be saying that too, with a new study that's released saying that the mainline Protestant churches are plummeting because they've embraced a contraceptive mentality of few children. How are we to respond to this? Are we to see small families, few children, as being a problem for the Christian church? And if so, how do we address it? We want you to join the conversation at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. And we have a guest on the line, Ben Wattenberg, who is senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. Now, Ben Wattenberg is someone I have admired for years, since I was 17 years old, 1988, watching a program that Ben Wattenberg did on PBS about the history of the Democratic Party. And this is a man who was a speechwriter for LBJ, for President Johnson, and he also was a campaign advisor to Hubert Humphrey and to Scoop Jackson. And of recent years, he has been talking about all kinds of issues, such as immigration, and now the population bust. Ben Wattenberg is the author of a book called Fewer, How the New Demography of Depopulation Will Shape Our Future. Ben Wattenberg, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you very much, Russ. It's great to be with you.
Well, good to have you here. You know, you talk about in your book the fact that ever since the Black Plague, population has been headed up, but now we see a change. Why is that?
Well, there are... I think I list out about a dozen different factors. I mean, there's the one that everybody thinks of right away is the advent of newer forms of contraception, I guess, kicked off by the pill. But there's later marriage, there's more education, there's more women working, there are more people living together without the benefit of marriage. It falls under the general rubric of modernism. I mean, the modern world, as far as we know now, does not encourage young people to have children. And that's true all over the world. People don't realize it. They still say, oh, the third world or the less developed world, they have these huge families. Well, they too, if you look at the course of the last 20 or 30 years, have dropped from an average of about 6 children per woman down to about 2.7 children per woman. That's an enormous drop over a very short period of time. Look, everybody in the world now just about has access to seeing television. Mm. I mean, sometimes in communal halls where there's one little television set, even in these very underdeveloped places, through satellite technology and everything else. So, and what they're seeing is that young people do a lot of very exciting things that children get in the way of, like they can get on an airplane and go to the Caribbean for a nice 2-week vacation, et cetera. They can buy a computer. They can do this. They can do that. Children, I've done some interviewing around the world on it. People say generally, and I have 4 children myself. Children cost a lot of money. The UN did something quite remarkable. Demographers, which I pointed out in that book, fewer demographers like things nice and neat. And if you, so they always ended their charts at some mythical point in the future where every nation would have 2.1 children per woman forever. And 2.1 is what they call the replacement rate. In other words, there's a mommy and a daddy and 0.1 children who die before their own age of reproduction, and sooner or later, I hate to be the one breaking the news to you, Russ, but sooner or later, the two parents die, and they have to be replaced by 2 other people. And if you have, so you need these 2.1 what they call the total fertility rate.
Now, environmentalists.
What the UN has done, what they did last time, is 2 very interesting things. One is they said the rates in many parts of the world have fallen so low that we're going to change our baseline statistic from 2.1 to 1.85. And even that's very high because you have countries, I mean, South Korea, where it's about 1.1, not 2.1 children per woman. And it's happening everywhere. As this study by the sociologist points out, it's happening in America. And it is. It's America had about, used to in colonial times, the total fertility rate was about 8 children per woman, and now we're at about 2.0, still a little bit below replacement, but higher than the other modern countries.
Well, and it's interesting that this study actually proves your point to a degree, because the denominational groups, the churches that embrace modernism the quickest, are the ones who have the most declining birth rates.
Yes, but now you call them conservative churches, and we might argue about that phrase or what it means, but it's not much difference between the fertility rates, and I think the sociologist who did this said they were late in catching on to this.
Yes.
I mean, there's a whole – first of all, I mean, a lot of these – conservative churches, when you do, or conservative church goers, I'd say, when you survey people who self-identify as fundamentalist or evangelical or whatever, about 35% to 40% of them say they vote Democratic. So it's not some monolith of the way we tend to talk about them. I mean, and as I say, it's a global phenomenon that's going on everywhere.
How about with Muslims?
Well, it's happening with Muslims also. I was at a meeting at the UN, and people were talking about falling fertility, and the demographer from Iran, I guess the UN had them listed at about 2.5 children per woman, and he said, sorry, that's wrong. Our new data shows that we are below 2.1 already. And the demographer from Mexico said the same thing. And I talked to European demographers about Muslim fertility in Europe. Same thing. It's gone down. Maybe it's a tad higher. And the states in America differ also. I mean, the so-called red states, more conservative states, tend to have somewhat higher fertility, but the phenomenon is global, and what nobody seems to realize is that, I mean, they did a projection out to the year 2300, which is much further than they usually go, and if you keep that their own figure, 1.85, which I think is high.
All right.
You go from 9 billion.
Mr. Wattenberg, we're going to a break. I appreciate your being with us. This is Russell Moore. We'll be right back.
Some families lined up filling their paper plates, and they've drove or flown in here from 15 different states. Stanley Wilson says that 60 years ago he knew that Miss Emma Tucker was the one. Now five generations get together every 'cause two people fell in love.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. I hate to tell you, Brad Paisley, but that Wilson family reunion is getting smaller and smaller with these demographic trends. People just aren't having the babies like they used to have babies, and that is having an impact on our churches. Question I want to ask you is, should we worry about the fact that liberal Protestant churches, they embrace a contraceptive culture? I'm not talking about contraception itself right now. I'm talking about the idea that it's a good thing to have small families, few children. They embraced that understanding of modernism, and now liberal churches are dying. They say, oh, it's not because of our theology, it's because we've embraced modernism when it comes to child rearing. Well, I think that embracing modernism when it comes to families carries with it embracing modernism when it comes to a whole bunch of things. But the problem is, when we're looking at these trends, it's headed right for us in the conservative evangelical churches. You can already see it with people in our churches not really valuing having large families. They want to have very small families, sometimes even just one child. And it's like Ben Wattenberg said, you've got television all over the world giving the American ideal of having very small families so that you can have all kinds of access to wealth. Well, that doesn't just impact third world countries, that impacts evangelical churches and the way that we see reality. Should we be worried about that? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And if we should be, then how do we encourage families in our churches to embrace children, to embrace the idea of having lots of children, if the Lord gives them to us? How do we get that through the minds of our people when we have a culture saying, children are a problem, children are a burden? Just have one, maybe two. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we have Chuck on the line. Chuck, welcome to the Albert Mohler program. Good to have you with us.
All right. I'm glad I could call in. I'd like to say that I agree that I think it is a problem in our churches. I think I am encouraged, though, in our churches here now that we are being a lot more purposeful about promoting the family, especially in the conservative churches I've been a part of.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, she grew up in a conservative church, and I grew up around conservative churches. I was not a believing member until after I became a Christian 4 years ago. But I think even at that time growing up, those churches had embraced some of the modern ideas, and there wasn't a lot of discouragement about both men and women pursuing their educational goals and dreams.
Mm.
And it was always held up to be kind of the highest thing we could attain, I guess, in our earthly life here. And my wife and I now find ourselves in a position of high financial debt that we owe for our schooling.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a very tough thing to try to figure out how to pay for everything, get set up so we can provide for our family. And I know God provides, but there are those aspects of our responsibility that we have to take, and it's been tough for us to try to plan and figure out when the best time for us to would start having a family and be
so
able
Chuck,
to.
So, Chuck, you're saying that student loans are something that's really been hindering parents from having children.
I think for us as a couple, it definitely is something, because my wife is the one that went to dental school, and she had to pay for that with all student loans, and this was before I met her.
Yeah.
And we had hoped that 2 years into our marriage, coming up in December, that she would have been working full-time, and
yeah,
I'd have been working full-time. We could have paid it off, but the fact is, she had a hard time finding work, and, you know, we still have these loans.
Well, that's an interesting point, Chuck. I mean, the fact that you have families so enslaved to debt, student loans, and you're right, there's this mentality often that you need to take out however much debt you need in order to succeed, and then you have young couples getting married who think they can't afford to have babies. A marriage in which you have you're so enslaved to a debt that you can't even bring children into the world, or so you think. I mean, that's Pharaoh-like. How do we encourage couples in a society like this to be able to have children? How do we equip them to see having families and not just having a baby, not just getting pregnant, but having as many children, having larger families to the glory of God? How do we emphasize this in our churches? And how do we keep families who do have large families, who are blessed with large families, from looking like freaks in a culture that says, you know, you can have one child, you can have two children, maybe three, but that's it. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. And who's scared of being alone? Being alone is great. Being alone is what it's all about. As a matter of fact, two, maybe three of you, and that's enough. That's the message that we're getting all over the culture, as Ben Wattenberg shared with us today. It's not just happening around the world. It's happening within our churches as we're deciding, you know, we really shouldn't have that many children, and we ought to put them off as long as humanly possible. That's the message that our young couples are receiving within our churches, that if you have children and you start having a lot of children, you're really seen as somewhat freakish, not only out there in secular America. I'm not so much worried about that as within our churches themselves. But if we're going to make an impact for the gospel, one of the things we have to start minding is our church nurseries. Now, Brian is on the line, and Brian disagrees with me. Brian, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, Dr. Mohler. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's your thought today?
Well, I was going to say, yes, you're absolutely right. Going from a biblical stance, go and populate the whole earth. But I was going to say, that's secondary to, and I was trying to formulate it the best way I could, just make new babies as disciples of Christ and populate that family.
Yeah.
And I would say that would solve the problem of more people in the churches.
Well, I agree with you that evangelism is absolutely central. But, you know, Brian, what I think is that it's not an either or. I think there's a reason why these liberal Protestant churches that embrace putting off children, they don't emphasize children, why they also don't embrace evangelism. I think that's because you think about the way that the Old Testament, be fruitful and multiply, you've got the New Testament coming in. Jesus uses that fruitful and multiply clause and applies it to the Great Commission. Here I am, Jesus says in Hebrews 2, and the children that you have given to me. So I think that a church that is passionate about seeing people coming into the kingdom of God through the new birth, this is also the church that is emphasizing the fact that children are a gift and that children should be brought up in the nurture and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so it's not an either or. I think that these two things have to go together. And that's why I'm a little bit disturbed about churches that say, oh, we're going to emphasize evangelism, but we're just going to accept whatever the culture is telling us about having children. I think that once you accept what the culture tells you about new life from the womb, you're also going to accept what the culture is telling you about new life through the Spirit of God. I think they go together. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do we deal with the birth dearth in our churches? We have John, who is listening in Cleveland, Ohio on WHKW. John, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. It's great to be on. Appreciate you taking my call.
Well, good to have you with us. What's your thought today, John?
Well, I just, you know, if you look in the, you've talked some about the scriptures, and I think that's where we ought to go to see what's going on here. And, you know, Psalm 127 says that children are a gift from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It says, even blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. You know, it relates them to arrows and a quiver of a warrior.
Yeah.
And I just don't see how the church can be effective. You know, how many sermons have we heard about, you know, surrendering our finances to the Lord? And then when we do that and we tithe, then God will bless us, you know.
Yeah.
And we'll be better Christians for it. How can we sit here and say, well, no, I'm not going to surrender my family size to the Lord? It doesn't mean you have to have 8 kids. The question is, are you going to leave that in God's hand? Or are you going to say, no, that part of my life I'm not going to trust to God. That part of my life I'm going to be in charge of. And that's where, you know, this contraceptive mentality that you mentioned earlier comes in. I saw an article online a couple of years ago by Randall Terry, who you know is a real mover shaker in the pro-life movement. And he said the same reasons people were giving him for using contraception were the same reasons he heard people going in the abortion mill.
Well, I don't want to get into the contraception debate today. We could have an interesting time with that. But I think, John, you make an interesting point that you have all kinds of churches that don't even think about this issue. And people in our churches that don't even think about this issue. And one of the things I want to say is that this doesn't just have to do with married couples. This has to do with the singles in our churches. How are we equipping singles to see themselves as future fathers and mothers, rather than simply seeing themselves as kind of an extension of the youth group? I think we need the singles in our congregations actually around babies, actually part of the church family, meaning part of families and being with toddlers and being with babies and seeing themselves as completely part of the family of God and the household of faith in this way, not as just kind of people who are off in the corner trying to find mates. I think that is something that the church needs to emphasize, is that the point of what God is doing within the church is sanctifying all of us, conforming all of us to the image of Christ. And that means saying to everyone, one day, if God grants this, you're going to be a dad, you're going to be a mom. We want to help you get ready for that. We have Elizabeth on the line. Elizabeth, welcome to the Albert Mohler program. Elizabeth, are you there? Elizabeth is gone. What do you think? Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How can we emphasize having families, and how can we help parents, Christian parents, who actually are having larger families than the culture says we should have? How do we help to keep them from seeing themselves sometimes as somewhat freakish? Well, I think one of the things we need to do is to stand up and preach about this. Stand up and preach about the fact that we need to honor the fact that we have children within our churches. We have Valerie on the line. Valerie, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Hi, Dr. Mohler.
Hey.
It's good to speak with you.
It's good to talk to you. What's your thought today?
Well, I honestly believe in the biblical mandate to have children for married couples.
Uh-huh.
And we need to do that, but we need to be very careful that we have the amount of children that we can to do a good job and raise them for the Lord. We know a lot of Christian families that have had a lot of children, and they are not doing a good job.
How are they not doing a good job in terms of taking financial care of them?
Sometimes it's financial, and that puts an incredible amount of stress on the family.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a breakdown with their time factor for each child.
Well, Valerie, I'd have to say with that, I mean, how is it that previous generations have been able to make time for larger families, and now we think that we can't make time for 4 or 5 children? I don't know about that. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler program.
It's early yet, don't say.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about declining populations, the birth dearth, and the church nursery. And we have Chris on the line listening in Chicago, Illinois. Chris, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Great. Good to have you with us. What's your thought today?
Well, it kept being said that, you know, it's a liberal Christian thought about having just one or two children and whatnot. And first off, I wouldn't consider myself a liberal Christian. I only have one son, and we decided this is where we're going to stay at, is just our one child.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, like the Apostle Paul, he was what I would consider probably a very conservative Christian. And he said, not even get married for the gospel. You know what I mean? That it's better a man doesn't get married, so he can just put time and energy at spreading the gospel. And him and many of his followers did do that.
Well, Chris, that's a good point. The Apostle Paul does say that you have some people who are called to singleness, but I don't think the Apostle Paul ever says those who are married should have marriage without procreation. I mean, think about what we're doing, not only in terms of declining birth rates, but also in terms of the way that we view children. Think about all of the children who are growing up as only children, not because of some providential hindrance in the lives of the parents, but because the parents decided you're the only one, and we have more and more children growing up without siblings, without uncles, without aunts. All that they have are parents, and then they're alone. I just think this is a very troubling trend that we have going on within our churches, and I think it's interesting that we started to move in this direction with the rise of feminism, with the rise of a contraceptive mentality, and with the understanding that children are a burden. As soon as the outside culture began to see children as a burden, that's when the church, shortly thereafter, started to adopt the same type of mentality. You know, I would encourage you, Chris, to rethink this and to rethink, could it be that the Lord is calling me to raise up in nurture and in admonition of the Lord a generation of children, and to see this as something that is joyful, something that the Lord is calling you to as an evangelistic endeavor, raising up young men and women who will be conformed to the image of Christ. And I think if we emphasize in our families, having big families isn't freakish. Welcoming children isn't freakish. Instead, this is something joyful. I think if we emphasize that, you'll see that we have more of a passion for evangelism. Right now, when we're saying, oh, you know, this is just private, it's up to you how many children you have, you can just have one, I think that cools our evangelism and causes us to contracept the new birth. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.